It's a somewhat sobering question, but important to ask. When you move from this life to the next, what kind of memory will you leave behind for those you love? Today on Insight for Living, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll conclude a message introduced last week. We're learning that a strong legacy doesn't just happen. It takes intentional effort, and it begins by looking back at our past. Originally delivered in Northern California, where families relaxed in a refreshing mountain retreat center, we'll pick up the study in Deuteronomy 34. Chuck titled his talk, Creating a Legacy of Remembrance.
Tozer put it so well, when a man of God dies, nothing of God dies. And it is the presence of God surrounding the memory, the legacy of a great woman or a great man that lives on and strengthens, gives new life to those who come behind and found us faithful along the way. These people mourn the death of their friend and leader, Moses. In fact, they mourn him for 30 days, says verse 8. The days of weeping and mourning for Moses came to an end. And the camera shifts over a 30-day period into Joshua 1, and there is this man who has been mentored and prepared by Moses. His name is Joshua, and he takes up where Moses leaves off. Verse 1, chapter 1 of Joshua, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant. And he says, Moses is dead, now therefore arise, cross over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land I'm giving to them, to the sons of Israel. There's no mourning with God. Verse 10, after Joshua hears this commission from the Lord, and now he turns to the people and he commands the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. Verse 16. Look at this response. They answer Joshua saying, all that you have commanded, we will do. I've got that underscored. Now, Joshua 3. Joshua rose early in the morning, and he and all the sons of Israel set out from Shittim and came to the Jordan. That's about 7-10 mile walk. They've broken camp. They're moving ahead. They're not warriors, but they're going to have strength from God to fight this battle. They lodged there, that is, on the east side of the Jordan, before they crossed. So they rose early in the morning, and they lodge here before they cross the river. It came about at the end of 3 days. The officers went through the midst of the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God with the Levitical priests carrying it, you shall set out from your place and go after it. So the Ark was to lead the way. However, there shall be between you and it a distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Verse 9, then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. By this you shall know that the living God is among you, that he will assuredly dispossess from before you. And he named 7 major enemies in the land of Canaan. They're all warriors. They're rugged. They're mean as junkyard dogs. They are street fighters. They know how to handle weapons. These Israelites are nomads. This is a younger generation. There's no seasoned warrior among them except Caleb and Joshua. Getting up in years. The rest are young. They're rookies. They are not really equipped to fight. So that's all the more important. The living God is among you. He will assuredly dispossess before you Canaanites and Hittites and Hivites and Perizzites and Girgashites and Amorites and Jebusites and Termites. All of them. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over ahead of you into the Jordan. He will go ahead of you. Walk with him. He's never suffered a defeat, never once. No one is his match. Go with him. Now then, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man for each tribe. It shall come about when the soles of your feet of the priests who carry the ark of the Lord and the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down from above shall stand in one heap. If you go back to your map, you can see that Jordan goes all the way back up. Somewhere earlier in the upper region of the waters, it would be banked, it would be stopped. The Lord would dam it up. We know a lot about the crossing of the Red Sea. We don't think much about the crossing of the Jordan. The previous generation remembers the Exodus. This new generation needs a living reminder of God's miraculous power. And the Lord is ready to give it to them. I'm going to stop the flow of the waters and you will move across. First the Ark of the Covenant, then the waters will stop, and then you'll go across on dry ground. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Came about when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, now watch closely. Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe. Command them, saying, take up for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priests' feet are standing firm. They're big stones. Look, carry them over with you and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight. Joshua called the 12 men whom he appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. Joshua said, cross again to the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan. Each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. That explains the standing of rocks in this drawing behind me. Just let that be a never-be-forgotten reminder of this event and any series of events in your life. Let this, notice, he believes in memorials, let this be a sign among you. Why? So that when your children ask later, what do these stones mean to you? You shall say to them, this is what God did. The waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant. They'll tell their story. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. It's magnificent, isn't it? Verse 15, now the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests who carry the Ark of the Testimony that they come up from the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests, saying, come up from the Jordan. It came about when the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had come up from the middle of the Jordan. The soles of the priests' feet were lifted up to dry ground. In comes the water. Man, that is a great scene. I love stuff like that. The waters come back into their place all over the banks that they once filled. And these Israelites are standing there. They don't know whether to spit or wind their watch. It's like, look at this. And all the people have come to the other side, and there are 12 stones carried on shoulders as a part of the legacy they were to pass on to the generations to come who won't even remember any of that. It'll mean nothing to them once they get fat and sassy in the land of Canaan. They won't even know what battle is like. Like today's generation, you mentioned the Second World War, they think it's ancient history. Most of them can't even tell you the significant battles of Vietnam. It's like, when was that? And there's almost a cynicism about it. It's our history. And this memorial that we built there at the Walking Mall in Washington, and I know you watched it, and we all just stared. And if you're like Cynthia and me, you sort of blink back the tears. You see, some of these Medal of Honor winners not wanting any credit. Not one of them jaded because they weren't remembered before now. They're surprised that so much is being made of it. All they did is save the world. This is a memorial. It stands as a mute reminder of a great accomplishment. In this case, it's God's accomplishment. Isn't it great? They didn't have to build anything. They just picked up stones. I love that. No big deal. God made the stones. So just, those are kind of sizable. I mean, you couldn't put one of those on your shoulder unless you're Hercules. But I mean, if you got the idea. They carry as much as they can carry, and they drop them on the ground. And now it gets really good. Watch. Verse 19. The people came up from the Jordan, 10th of the first month, and camped at the Gilgal on the eastern edge of Jericho. There's Gilgal. Those 12 stones which they had taken from the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. He said to the sons of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in a time to come, saying, what are these stones? You shall inform your children, Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed, that all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord is mighty. That's great. So that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Okay, get your pencil ready. Notice the three reasons for the stones. First, to inform the children. To inform the children of God's miraculous work. When your children ask, tell them it was God. God did it. When your children ask, inform them of the act of God. Second, to instruct all the nations. To instruct the other nations that all the people of the earth will know that the Lord God, Yahweh, is your sovereign. And third, to instill a deep respect and reverence for the Lord himself. So one is to inform the kids, the other is to instruct the nation, and the third is to instill this deep respect, this fear of the Lord. Talk about a significant past worth remembering. Say a couple of things and we're through. First of all, this means something to us individually as believers. Each of us has stones of remembrance that we need to gather and erect into memorials. Paul is going to introduce our plan during this conference, but it will be only an initial idea that will prompt for you some very creative things. We're creating a legacy. You may need to remember something from your past. For me, it would be an old Coleman lantern that will remind me of my years with my father, as we fished and floundered together along the waters of the Gulf in South Texas. Maybe old photographs, now faded, that tell their own story of yesteryear, back when you were thinner, okay? Let's just start there. And younger. I always tell couples I'm married to enjoy the moment. They'll never be thinner than at this wedding. And you look at these pictures and you think, man, we came out of a concentration camp. Look how thin we were. You want photographs. Maybe a rock from a river where you fished with your boy or with your daughter. You maybe a rock from a hike you took with your family. It doesn't mean anything to anybody else, any more than this stack of rocks would, unless they knew the story. It's not the thing, it's what it represents. That's why the legacy is so powerful. You're looking at it brings tears. A person near you looks at it, means nothing, but it's because it's your legacy. And your family needs that. Or your history is gone. Nothing. Just a quick flash where you skated through their birth and teenage years, and then they marry and life goes on. Wait. There's too much important to remember, for them to build on. They need to know when you crossed your Jordan and how God did that. Maybe a board from an old barn, a piece of carpet from a former house where you once lived. Could be any number of things. Such stones give significance to our past. Your church needs to have stones of remembrance. When we moved into our new building, I remember asking a friend, how come it feels so funny? Why does it feel like I'm a guest at my own pulpit? He said, well, you have no memories yet. That was a good line. Nobody's died yet. Nobody's been married here yet. You know, you haven't had any splits or fights. You got to have a history, be a church. You got to have things that remind you. My mind goes back to October 14, 1998. Little church group met. We weren't even a church group. We were a group of strangers there in Frisco, Texas. And we didn't know each other. They didn't know me. I didn't know them. I don't think five people knew each other. Small group met. And what a great memory. Someone had a photograph of that to be part of our stones of remembrance. Then we moved to a college, Collin County Community College, and we set up chairs, white patio chairs. People from my church, when I mentioned the white chairs, rolled their eyes. I remember that. Every cold Sunday morning, we would set up chairs, and after we finished setting them up, we'd sit in them, and then after we finished that, we'd stack them. Then we'd take them back out and empty this gymnasium, where we did that for over 2 years. Oh, the white picnic chairs. I was visiting in a home not long ago, and they had three of those white picnic chairs on their patio. I stacked them when I got there. I got to stack these suckers, get them out here. You know? Those white chairs represent a stone of remembrance. Maybe a recording of children singing or our orchestra and choir doing Handel's magnificent Messiah. Perhaps a brick from one of our old building where we first met, in a little tiny office area. So small you had to go outside to change your mind. I mean, really little. Maybe one of the old early financial reports that ended with, how in the world are we going to make it through this month? We can't even make payroll of three people. Those are stones of remembrance. Our children need to be informed. Others need to be connected. And we ourselves need to have instilled within us a fear of the God who provides, doing exceeding abundantly beyond all we could ask or think. Full of surprises. If you do not make time for the memorial, you will forget. God says, remember. This wonderful story Dr. Don Campbell tells in his book on Joshua, which he calls No Time for Neutrality. In the spring of 1924, plans were being laid for the new seminary, the purpose of which was to emphasize the teaching of the Bible above all else. The seminary's president-elect, Lewis Sperry Chafer, had gone to Dundee, Scotland, to hold evangelistic meetings at the invitation of a leading manufacturer in that city. While in Dundee, Dr. Chafer stayed as a guest in the home of the wealthy Scottish industrialist. One morning during his stay, Dr. Chafer awoke with a deep sense of anxiety about the future of the seminary. Remember those feelings when you're just getting stuff started? You wake up with that feeling like, how are we going to do this? Which at the time consisted of nothing more than plans on a drawing board. For some inexplicable reason, he felt an overwhelming sense that the entire plan was doomed to fail. So he went to his knees and prayed, God, show me your will. What do you want me to do? His sense of foreboding was so strong that if God did not give an answer, he planned to send a telegram back to Dallas before he returned and request the plans for the seminary be completely abandoned. Later at breakfast, Dr. Chafer was seated next to his wealthy Scottish host and was surprised when the man asked, Dr. Chafer, has any provision been made for the library at the new seminary? No, Chafer replied. We were hoping to obtain a valuable library of the late Dr. Griffith Thomas. Fine, his host exclaimed. Please go ahead, purchase the books, send me the bill. And by the way, What about your salary as president of the seminary? I hadn't expected to draw a salary, Chafer replied. Well, you'll need some financial help, the manufacturer replied. I wish to personally send you $2,000 a year. It was quite adequate salary for those days. As Chafer later recalled, truly my cup ran over. The gift of a library valued at $4,000, such unexpected provision for my salary, all in one day. He had received his answer from the Lord, and plans for the seminary went forward. Today, the school is one of the leading training grounds for pastors to rightly divide the word of truth. Equally important, the seminary stands as a monument like the circle of stones at Gilgal to the faithfulness of God. Isn't it great to know that story? It's a memorial stone. I wish that story were framed and hanging in the president's reception office so that everybody who comes by will remember when it was hard and lean, when God came through, when he stopped the waters of the Jordan. Let's bow our heads together. I'm looking today into faces of people who, though you don't know it, are making history. Your decision to come here may not seem all that historical. It may have been sort of an inadvertent response to an invitation you heard on the radio or maybe in the mail. Maybe a friend. And suddenly you're in the midst of hearing about creating a legacy, establishing memorials. Don't let a day get lost. Our time here will just rapidly speed by. You'll find yourself with nothing but a few memories that will fade as you return to pay bills, go back to work. The Lord wants more than that. First, he wants your heart, where you will agree, Lord, we will do it. We will go. We will not disobey. Maybe something you and your partner in life needs to hammer out, because you got to be together in this. These are great days for that to happen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father, for doing what no one else could do. Thank you for those moments past when you came through and saved the life of one of our children. When you came through and saved the business. Or you let it go under to teach us and to test us. The old songwriter put it well, what he takes or what he gives us shows the Father's love so precious. May we, our Father, slow our pace and take the time to begin a memorial in honor of this legacy that we will create. May it live beyond us for many years. May it be for others a source of strength and hope and renewal. In the lovely name of Christ. Everybody said, amen.
So many ways to point to God's faithfulness through the years. He never fails. He always comes through. You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll titled, Creating a Legacy of Remembrance. It's just one of five messages delivered at a summer family conference in Northern California. And you can request the CDs or download the audio files by going to insightworld.org. Look for the series called Creating a Legacy. So when was the last time you paused to jot down your gratitude to God for His blessings in your life? Or spent concentrated time putting words to your passionate praise? Well, for most of us, we're well-intentioned, but sometimes fail to find the words or the place. And yet few expressions are more important or rewarding. Well, for that reason, Chuck Swindoll developed a prayer journal for you called Passionate Prayer. We're confident you'll enjoy owning the spiral-bound prayer journal from Chuck. It's yours when you give a gift of any amount. Whether large or small, your contribution helps advance the mission and ministry of Insight for Living. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. And online, go to insight.org. We want this prayer journal to serve as a reminder of our partnership together. As a listener-supported ministry, we rely on the generosity of loyal listeners like you. When you give, request your copy of Passionate Prayer. Go to insight.org. Gratefully, Insight for Living enjoys a strategic partnership and a cherished relationship with our monthly companions. If you're a monthly companion, please know how much we appreciate your consistent, faithful support. A monthly companion agrees to give a donation every month, providing strength and stability to our ministry. And we're hoping today's the day you'll take this important step as well. If you're listening in the United States, become a monthly companion by calling 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly-companion. I'm Dave Spiker. Tomorrow, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll talk about creating a legacy of personal mission. That's Tuesday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Creating a Legacy of Remembrance, was copyrighted in 2004, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2014 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.